to the Gadget Show. Welcome to the Gadget Show. Welcome to the Gadget Show. International Gadget Show.
Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/CabChat.
God, I'm sitting here with my old mate.
Who's your old mate?
You! Mind you, some people say, I ain't got no mates.
Join the club. You don't hold the patent on that.
Welcome back on CabChat, Mr. Sean Paul Day.
I'm glad to be here. In the back of your converted van. I've got a converted van as well,
lovely.
So it doesn't matter.
Ice cream vans are lovely, aren't they?
It is lovely.
Plenty of space in the back here. We're not all cramped
it
and
is.
Sitting on each other's laps,
no,
are we?
And I don't mind that the windows are all misted up.
No one
knows what we're doing.
No, that's Myrna.
Get off.
Go away, Myrna. Leave Myrna, leave us alone.
Yeah. Jamie, leave us alone.
So what have you been up to for the past? What's happening with London Taxi Radio?
Well, it did do a Christmas edition. Did you listen to
that?
Yeah, of course I did.
And I watch all your videos as well.
Thank you very much. The problem with doing a Christmas one, because you know you do a Christmas
one.
No one
listens to it.
And a lot of effort goes into a Christmas one, doesn't it? Because you have to get everybody together. But fewer people listen at Christmas because everybody's busy. Everybody's got a lot to do, haven't they? You know.
Yeah.
So hopefully, next week or two, we'll have another episode out. So
you're going to put it, because that's the first podcast you've done
for a little while. Well, we still...
Because you was doing the videos, but you wasn't doing the actual podcast.
Well, I said to you in the summer that we're almost finished the studio and we're at the same stage of finishing
it as she was in the summer. Yeah. Oh, right.
Do you know why?
Because life gets in the way.
No, because he wants to stay at home and be cosy.
Well, it's
he
the time of... Yeah, but Jamie, you know...
It's that time of year when you want to sit in front of the fire and put your feet up and watch the telly.
It's the time of year. And, I mean, we have got our... you know those toasties on,
toasty
haven't we,
socks.
In the back now?
Have you got a couple of little grippy things on the bottom as well?
Yeah, I got those animal slippers. We got them and we're wearing them
in
the back. We're wearing our onesies at home.
So did you get them for Christmas?
Renewed at Christmas renewed my other ones, my bear ones.
Your bear ones.
But I think the winter, but I think I don't hold the patent on that. I think the winter is a bit like that, isn't it? That you just want to be a bit, you know, cosy.
So what do you think of 2019 in the cab trade then? Because you're the man that's normally on the front line.
Nobody told me that.
You're the man that's in the know and goes to meetings and bits and pieces. And so what do you think? Do you think 2019 was a good year?
Oh, it was a mixed bag, wasn't it? I think we can come on and we can be a bit D&G and we can...
Don't want to be doom and gloom. CabChat's not about
doom
and gloom.
No, we don't want to be D&G. But we also have to be a bit realistic, don't we?
Yeah, we don't mind being realists.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be,
No,
I've been sitting in the cafe for 5 hours and I ain't earned no money today. You know, you can't sort of be like that, some of them on Facebook. But the trouble is,
I've been sitting in the cafe for five hours
and I haven't earned nothing. Yeah, but... You know, be doing other things.
That is,
But then I can't moan. I haven't earned anything today. In actual fact, I haven't earned anything all week. But still, that's another story.
No,
but still,
that's because you're doing 5 hours at the airport.
That's because I did cab chat at the LCDC on Tuesday night, and I had an headache yesterday. And you know what it's like when you want to come out to work and you've got a pounding headache, and you think, oh, no. And I got halfway here, and I turned around and went back home again. So that. That didn't happen.
Look, I think 2019, I think was pretty good for cab drivers.
Work-wise, money-wise, it was slightly up, wasn't it?
It wasn't
brilliant, but it was...
Well, we've got to be aware. We've got to be aware that we've got a reduced fleet.
Yeah.
And there is something about that. And as long as we're aware of what's happening in the trade, we'll be fighting the right arguments.
Yeah.
It's no good banging our heads on a brick wall fighting the wrong argument, is it?
No.
So as long as we're fighting the right argument, I think you know, we're all right. I think there's been an upturn in the street hail, and I think that's good. And I think we've got to push the street hail. We've got to push the street hail as the sexy thing to do, isn't it?
Yep. The cool
it's got to be the
to
cool
do.
Thing. You're not tracked. Cool thing. You're not hacked.
This is something that I've been on about for ages. It's got to be cool to get in a London taxi.
We've got to sex up the cab trade.
You've got to be sort of, you know, an outcast getting into anything else.
Yeah, that's it.
Certainly it's been. But not with these cab drivers that present themselves as trolls on Twitter and troll Uber passengers that are complaining about Ubers and starting to be, oh, I ain't got no sympathy for you. You get what you deserve. The reply should be, sorry, you've had a bad experience. Maybe next time try a London taxi, a black cab. Not, serve yourself right. Got no sympathy for you. You know, it's like the Neanderthal man attitude, isn't it? It's like caveman coming out with his club in his hand and batting him over the head with it and trying to get
the thing is, if we all worked for a company, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, would you?
No, definitely not.
And so it's just having the autonomy to go out there, and there is responsibility that comes with autonomy, isn't there?
Yeah.
But you've also not got to be ignorant to not know that. So it's a bit of a difficult thing, isn't it? We can knock cab drivers as well that do it, but cab drivers do feel a bit disenfranchised as well.
They feel bitter, don't they? They feel bitter towards...
Yeah, and they feel... And I think a big thing is as well, they feel unheard.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much you protest. It doesn't matter how much you bang your head on a brick wall. TfL's not responding to you. And I think that's part of the problem.
You can understand why some cab drivers have stopped protesting and have decided to go to work and you know, do what we call bury their heads in the sand. But are they burying their heads in the sand? Maybe they've just literally had enough of not being heard.
Well, the thing is, at the end of the day, no one said you needed to get involved and be political and start campaigning or start arguing with TfL or arguing with somebody else's org. Nobody said when you was doing the knowledge that that's what you should be doing. The intention was to go out there, work hard, go home and feed your family, wasn't it? That was what it was. So I think we're in a position there where we castigate people for just doing their job.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to be a bit careful of that. But if you demo, as well as being the protest, you've got to PR that protest as well, haven't you?
Yep.
And I think fundamentally...
You've got to send out the right message.
Yeah, that's what the traders lacked every time. And again, the same
it's
as the way...
mixed messages,
well, the
it?
Same you as know? The way we would treat somebody who has a problem in an Uber car, we treat another cabbie the same if he hasn't for some reason bide into our ideology of it. Mm. But that sometimes is a failure of messages. Having said that, if you say Heathrow Express is down, you'll get a whole 200 cabs turn up.
200 cabs turn up.
Within minutes, won't you? So, I mean, I don't know how much he's not wanting to hear about it. Or hear about it. But things also have to evolve, don't they? Things have to progress.
Yep.
And you can't stay stagnant. You can't say, right, okay, we're in this position now and we're going to stay in this position even though it's not going anywhere. Because, as you say, what potentially might be a good idea or good for the cab trade to start with might end up not being so good for the cab trade if it's persisted on and you haven't actually progressed with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the issue as well. We've got to have self-awareness collectively as well as just individually and where we're heading with it. So 2020, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I think we've got an awful lot of policies coming our way which we're going to have real difficulties fighting. And I think it's you've got, I mean, God forbid just to breathe his name, but James Farrer. He only had two options when he was looking at congestion, a policy brought in, a traffic policy brought in. He had two options, either on due process, not following due process, or discrimination. And that's why he bangs out the discrimination element, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, although we might get the hump with it, you could see that was his only option. I don't think he's on much of a winner with it, but that's his only option because they follow due process. And I think when we're arguing our case to be included in bus lanes or bus gates or zones areas, we've got to realise that those options available to us are quite minimal. Mm. And we've got to be going in on those options. Sadly, we can't be using options that won't progress us or will hit a stalling block or are inappropriate, because some of the options, what we think are available, might be inappropriate and could potentially be quite injurious to us.
Yeah.
We've got to go in on the limited options. And there is a discrimination argument. There's a discriminatory policies coming in. And if they haven't done proper equality impact assessment, we can go down that route. Yeah. And there is a discrimination element against those who have mobility issues, the elderly, the frail, the visually impaired, the anxious, those carrying heavy luggage and shopping, everybody who needs a demand responsive.
Late at night.
Yeah, late at night. And when you've got boroughs who are very much complicit in these policies or very much want to endorse these policies that restrict taxi access, they're places like Camden, Hackney, Tower Hamlets, places like that have the highest crime rates,
yep,
by far. And you just think, well, you shouldn't be denying someone a demand responsive door-to-door service. And I think these are potential policies that we could look at and maybe have success in. But you know what was important a few years ago, the fact that we have a wheelchair accessible vehicle, very important, seemed to be the primary importance, now seem a distant second,
yeah,
to the policies that matter now. And we're not going to win arguments about the environment. Sadly, we're not going to win that. So we have to say, what can we do to be seen as part of the solution, as opposed to something where we're the victims of a model shift,
yeah,
and not part of the solution. We've got to see how can we be part of the solution. And it is a real problem, because the political route is important. But if you haven't got anybody on the floor of the House of Commons able to ask questions on our behalf on a regular basis, the political route is, you know, what do we have to do in order to secure that?
Yeah.
Because the political route isn't working, because that should be the nucleus, shouldn't it, Jamie?
Yeah.
You've got someone regularly to keep pushing questions there, and we don't have it. We should have that on a local level. We should have it on a national level, and if we don't have it, what do we need to do in order to get it?
Yeah.
So I think that's our challenge for 2020, really. I don't think there's anything more important than access to roads. I think it's more important than Uber. I think it's more important than the challenges we've got. Let the app companies fight it out between them, and let's try and secure ourselves access. But we've got to know what the regulations are, what the legislation is, primary legislation, also on a local level. We've got to know what it is in order to challenge it. Otherwise, we're not fighting the right fight, are we?
Yeah. So, putting that to one side,
see the bundle of laughs come with that. It was such a laugh of a second. That was
electric
to get off the
No. I agree with everything you say. Anything come up for air at all?
No,
usually on.
It's got even steamier in here. Look, the temperatures are rising.
If you could only see us.
Electric taxis. You drive a Vito.
I do.
You've never really liked a TX4, have you?
Well, I never had a TX4. Yeah. I had a TX2, so you can understand the grievance I have.
Have you driven an electric taxi?
We all had a drive around here, didn't we?
Yeah, well, Myrna had a drive.
Oh, she had a drive. No, I had a drive. I did once. No, it wasn't that time. Once before I did have a drive. I went out the exit to GSS, come in the entrance to GSS, and it was £4.60.
So what did you think of it? Do you like it?
Oh, it's a lovely drive. I mean, people have, you know, there's questions need to be asked there, and there's got to be, I don't know, they're going to have to do something about the
range.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest complaint. But to drive out of the exit and back in the entrance is beautiful. It feels beautiful.
So what do you think of the Nissan? Do you like the look of the Nissan?
Who likes the look of the Nissan?
Me.
Myrna does.
No,
Myrna
she does.
Because it's little.
I do, I'm a little.
Because it's little.
I don't even think that it's that little. I like it. I didn't think, I don't know, maybe from the outside, but I think we're all going to get used to it. It's the same as with the Vitas that you drive now, everybody hated it from the beginning.
Yeah, so, but we just think you like it because you're little and that's little and it'll go with you. It'll suit you.
You're a little dumpling in a minicab.
I'm not a dumpling anymore.
In a little mini, in a little private eye over there.
They do look like private eyes.
Everyone that's got one raving about them. They seem to love them.
But I bet they are good. I mean, I really don't like the look. But
it's quite funny. I'll tell you a little story. One of the people that was in there that said goodnight to us earlier on.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. He's ordered one. Yeah. So I was saying, what are you going to do about heating in the winter? Because it depletes the battery. He said, I've been looking on the internet about, you know, heated suits.
Heated?
That I can recharge at home.
Heated suits?
I went, but you shouldn't have to do that. He went, well, you know, you've got to save the battery. Yeah. And I thought, it's coming to something, isn't it? When you know, you're going back to the days where the old cab driver was sitting out the front without windows and a blanket over his lap and an overcoat
with
on.
With no door on the FX3s.
You know,
I don't know. I think I do see them in all electric vehicles, whether it's the Nissan or the LEVC, and they are all wearing coats because they're trying to save the range on the battery, which is a bit.
But how do you explain the cab drivers that drive around in a TX four with a woolly hat on and a big jacket? What's that all about? I mean, are they frightened to put the heater on because they think it's going to use an ounce more diesel?
Yeah,
or
but
what?
They all have radiator and heat problems, don't they? TXs, you buy them new with a radiator problem, don't you?
My heating in my TX four was lovely. It was great.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, the heating in these Vitos is good as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
It heats up. You don't have to wait an hour for it to heat up.
The only problem with my one is at the moment I've got no adjustment on it, really. It's either on or off.
So that's good because it does. It's either like it's the Sahara inside and it's the Antarctic outside.
Yeah. or you turn it around a couple of clicks and it goes cold.
Yeah. So, now here's a question, isn't it? Because and actually this is McNamara's point of view, because there's going to become a tipping point, isn't there?
Yep.
At the moment you go, well, it's all taxes or nothing. And one of the things Trevor Merrill says that we won't have any apartheid in the cab trade. But there's going to become a tipping point, isn't there, where you get 4, 5, 6, 7, 10,000 electric vehicles. If there's a choice, and the choice might be put to us imminently, quite soon, to say electric taxes or nothing. Mm. We don't want to have a two-tier system in the cab trade. But if we've all got to move towards electric, and it's the only option to us, we've got to say electric taxes, haven't we? Because I don't want to see a two-tier system in the cab trade.
I mean, there's a case that there's been reporting on the internet that in Richmond at the moment, in southwest London, about 1,100 homes have been without any gas. Yeah? Mm. So they've got no heating.
Yeah.
So they've all been using electric fires.
Right, okay.
And the national grid's gone into meltdown in the local area.
Yeah,
so
well,
if all those households were to go out and buy electric vehicles, how would the national grid cope then?
It is. I think that might be a little bit out of our hands. But you know what I mean? It's as far as cab trade goes, the choice between no taxes or electric taxes, we've got to look, okay, beyond tomorrow, beyond next year. If that's the choice given to us.
I think the telling point's going to come 2025. Because that's when they've said they want to sort of have a sort of ban on diesel vehicles in central London. I don't think it'll happen,
to be honest with you, the more left-wing councils, they don't want electric either, because they're saying, as far as emissions go, because of the tyres, the braking, it still creates emissions.
They don't want anything.
But I do have a bit of a problem with cyclists being, a lot of them, more than cab drivers anyway, predominantly vegans or vegetarians. I would say the amount of lentils they eat, they are causing a spike in carbon emissions far more than the braking on a TXE. You know what I mean?
Now you're going back to the guy there on the TV said that we need to breed more environmentally friendly cows, which is basically genetic engineering, which is he's going a little bit too far, it's, really.
Yeah, none of us.
A little bit out.
Can you go a little bit out?
Okay.
Where are you going to put a little bit out?
It's all right. You can just stay there for a moment. So there's noise continuing. So we just have the same ambience.
Same ambience.
Yeah.
But if you want to go out and make a phone call, you can do if you want to.
You see,
she's got she's very on the far end ADHD spectrum.
You see,
and ADHD spectrum
on the far end.
Oh, it's okay. She hasn't got a microphone call now. No. She hasn't got a microphone call now, so it's okay.
Find out that everybody alive in the house. Oh.
The problem is there is a model shift, isn't there? And yeah, it is going over. I mean, I'm hearing talk now about.
But it's the same as the model shift a few years ago, isn't it? Yeah. When they were saying, "Oh, petrol's the devil. Buy a diesel vehicle." Vehicles.
Yeah,
so we all bought diesel vehicles. Now, diesel's the devil, buy electric vehicles. And then tomorrow it'll be, electric's the devil, go and buy gas-powered vehicles.
But also, there's no recourse, is there? So the Cycle Superhighway, the one that goes around the embankment, I don't know whether that's Cycle Superhighway 1 or 3 or whatever it is, but they said there would be slightly longer journey times, and it's quite significantly longer. But they also said it would significantly reduce the carbon emission, and it hasn't. In fact, it's slightly increased. With Elephant and Castles, since the remodelling there, there's been increasing KSIs. Yeah. And so, but there's never any redress, is there? They don't say, okay, that doesn't work. That remodelling doesn't work, so we've got to change it.
It's the same as TfL releasing figures saying that black cabs are responsible for more than half of the harmful emissions in central London. Yeah? But then 2 weeks later, they released figures saying that the amount of private hire vehicles entering the central congestion charge zone during operational hours is 40,000 a day.
40,000, yeah. Whereas, compared to 11,000 black cabs.
9,000
black cabs. Reduced.
Now, we already know that 50% of private hire vehicles are diesel vehicles, yeah? And then there's only a small percentage of them that are pure electric vehicles. The rest are petrol or hybrids,
yeah,
which are mainly, you know, under 10 miles an hour. Yeah, and otherwise they kick in on the petrol. Yeah. So you could say that at least 30,000 of them are putting out emissions.
Yeah.
Well, surely by their own admission, TfL's figures that stating that black cabs are responsible for half the harmful emissions in central London is wrong, because their number is 3-1 in central London, 4-1 in nearly.
Well, Greenpeace did a survey before TfL did their own survey, saying it was 2% of the emissions, and you just think there's no, when they don't explain.
The Greenpeace survey that also said that half of the NOx emissions in central London were natural anyway.
Were natural, yeah, and also
a third by the internal combustion engine.
Yeah, and a third of it dissipates, so it comes in from outside. So to create these arbitrary barriers on the North Circular,
it's like Shoreditch, it's electric vehicle roads, weren't it?
Ridiculous.
For a cleaner environment, and what they think the emissions don't travel into the streets.
Yeah, of course.
It
migrates from China, so it's going to migrate across the North Circular or the M25.
Elephant and Castle, you stated about the Elephant and Castle, we've created this lovely green space for people to enjoy. Who's going to want to go and sit in the middle of the Elephant and Castle roundabout? Now, come on, be honest. Would you want to go and sit there? Because I'm sure I wouldn't want to go and sit there.
Well, I would if I went by the artist impression of what Elephant and Castle was going to look like.
Yeah, but these artists, I think, I think they probably live in like the Outer Hebrides or somewhere.
There's always leaves
where they've never seen traffic.
And it's summer.
Always summer.
And always in bikinis.
And the sun shining, people walking around with no coats on.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But also, they never explain what, when they go, it's killing people, they never explain what early death is. They never explain that hidden consumption pollution because of reducing road space actually exasperates pollution. Cyclists always jump on it and say, oh, yeah, it doesn't cause it, but it exasperates it, doesn't it? And that's what happens, because intensifying.
Yeah. But the thing is, proof is that people are actually living longer in this country than ever before.
But the stats show that Kensington's Chelsea, which has some of the heaviest and densest is urban area that has the most traffic flows, they have the second highest mortality rate in the country. So it can't come down to how much traffic is going down that particular road, can it? But you know, when the establishment machine, the publicity machine is against you.
Yeah.
You don't stand much of a chance.
You don't get the platform, do you? To suit their agenda, really.
That's right. You don't get the platform. And coming back to what we talked about before, what was important a few years ago, those with mobility issues, yeah. and we had to conform, didn't we? We had 100% wheelchair accessible. We all had to do it. We didn't have a choice because that was a primary issue. Now is a distant second, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not being taken into consideration. And the local authorities are not providing those with mobility issues a demand responsive door-to-door service. They cannot answer it. And until they can't answer it, I think we should be allowed in. But it's the only argument I think we have.
Now, here's a question for you.
Something I put on Twitter
the other day, right? And I asked the question.
Go on.
Where does the saying kipper season come from? Yeah? What would your interpretation of where did the saying kipper season come from?
It was the fishermen, wasn't it? They could only trawl kippers at a certain time of year, couldn't they?
Am I close? Was the cheapest one.
It is cheap, yeah, it is.
And then this is why it's a kippers.
I mean, I've got various different answers, right? And one of them says, all we can afford is kippers for tea this time of year. Another one said, led to believe kippers was all you could afford to eat at this time of year. Someone said, got something to do with kippers being cheap and all that people could afford to eat. So basically the same.
Similar, yeah, that's what I'm.
Someone else said, thought it was as flat as.
I haven't heard that one before. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Someone else said, because it's as flat as fuck and you have to pick the bones out of it.
I thought that was quite a good one, actually.
Someone else said, old days before Christmas, cabbies could afford steak. Not after Christmas. And kippers were cheap.
You only afford kippers before Christmas now.
And I haven't been able to find a definitive definition of what kipper season means. So I think we've got to go with, because it's basically all you could afford.
It was all you could afford.
During a quiet period, really.
And that
seems to be the consensus of opinion from everyone.
And if traditionally that was the case, but then someone, I think we're doing all right.
Someone did reply, I can't wait for pie and mash season to start again.
That's all year round, isn't it? You know,
and someone
if you're
said,
in Welling.
Someone said if it was as flat as someone else said, surely that would be pancake season then.
Well, we could do it. Well, it is
not
pancake
that
season
makes
this
any
month,
more sense.
Next month, in 2 days, the month for pancakes, February.
And then Guido Acasa says, Mona say January's crep, but I ain't going to let stop me making money.
Well, Guido's always on the money, isn't he? Come on. We won't talk about him, though, because I guess people riled up.
Yeah.
But I would say... I thought that was
one of his better replies.
No, it is
one of his better tweets.
Well, occasionally
he
does come through.
Yeah,
it does.
Other times he talks crap.
But the problem is, and I'm not isolating him, because he'll love it.
He obviously... I mean, listen... I might think he talks crap. He obviously might think he talks sense and everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Well, sometimes he does make sense. I think the problem, and I'm not isolating him out because he will love it if we do that.
Yeah.
But there are
a lot of people like that.
Yeah, there are some people, and what they do is they just want to undermine what is happening. And sometimes when you have a focus, and it can be quite a good, say it is quite a good focus, they undermine it. Then the focus then is shifted, and sometimes it doesn't do it any justice.
It's quite funny you should say that. It's like someone sent me a message the other week. I'm not going to say who it was. Saying
it was no good, is it, listeners?
It was the Great Exhibition.
We want to know who it was.
It was the Great Exhibition and not the Festival of Britain, right? And I'm thinking, what the bloody hell?
You see,
I've
heard of both.
Right, now this was to do with. Right, an interview that I did for The Londonist.
All right.
About 5 or 6 years ago.
You don't hear so much of The Londonist, do you?
No, I think the news talking about that today. They seem to have had a change of direction.
All right.
They're not doing their podcast anymore. They seem to have slowed down on the videos they're doing.
Yeah,
nowadays.
They used to do The Londonist. It was a website. Yeah, it was
They sort of forced all the others out of the way, didn't they, that were doing the same sort of thing. And now they seem to have... hence our little project that me and which I'm not going to say what it is at the moment, but all will be revealed later.
Well, we've got a bit of a clue because there's been a bit of a teaser.
Yeah, a little bit of a teaser coming out, but we're not going to say what it is at the moment.
No.
But, Yeah. So, what
project
did you, you're going to say about what project?
I'm doing secret project.
No,
what
no,
secret project?
We'll tell you. We'll keep it secret. We'll tell Jamie when we've got. Oh, this is no good for listeners. You won't say who said things. We won't tell anybody what's happening.
This is getting no good.
But don't worry.
This is very visual.
We're just going to have a little surprise.
A little surprise.
Yeah. As soon as the weather is breaks. Don't worry. I'm not going to wear a bikini on something like this. I'm not going to disappoint anybody.
I thought you was going to get a pole and start dancing in the middle of GSS. Or something.
Oh, no, maybe 30 years ago. hang on, you were saying, yeah, okay, now I've heard of both, you see, the exhibition and the other one, the Festival of Britain. I've heard of both, but wasn't the Festival of Britain, wasn't that the Royal Festival and the exhibition Crystal Palace? Am I on the right track?
No, basically, Great Exhibition was in Crystal Palace which was originally in Hyde Park.
That's right.
Behind where the Albert Memorial is. And it was moved afterwards up to Crystal Palace. The Festival of Britain was on the South Bank where the Festival Hall now stands.
Yeah. So
different areas.
A little bit right.
The Great Exhibition, we were talking about where the knowledge started, and the Great Exhibition was extremely busy, and during that period, cab drivers would only work their local ranks.
Yeah.
And because it was so busy, they came up from ranks all over London to go and work the Great Exhibition, and there was complaints to the public carriage office that the cab drivers didn't know where they were going. Hence, the knowledge was born.
I mean, that's a great story.
And I can't remember the dates, but it was in the late 1800s.
Oliver Cromwell
licensed the first 200 taxi drivers in 1654.
There you go.
They were the original Fellowship of Hackney Carriage Drivers, the first 200, which was then sort of disbanded because I don't know, I can't remember the history, to be honest with you. And the fellowship was resurrected in 1992, I believe, something like that, 92. And that's why they was always keen to get 200 members, because to reach the 200 that was original.
Of course.
But that's a whole different.
Well, that's interesting. Story. A little fact about the Great Exhibition as well, unrelated to the country, but. Well, might be related in the case of dinosaurs, because dinosaurs had just started to be discovered about that time, and they was going to put a display on of what dinosaurs were like, but they didn't really know what they looked like, and they commissioned an artist. I forget who the artist was now, but they commissioned an artist to give his impression of what a dinosaur looked like.
Yeah.
Turns out now, you've heard recently that they were more like birds than lizards. It's because ever since the Great Exhibition, the artist just drew. His idea, he hadn't got any scientific basis to it at all, or any factual basis. Mm. He just drew from his imagination, what a dinosaur looked like. And that stuck with us right up to 20 years ago, that they were like giant lizards. And it's only recently it's come to be known that there was actually probably more bird-like. So all these films that like 1 million years BC, Jurassic Park, The Land That Time Forgot, all these films with dinosaurs
are all
factually wrong. Yeah. You know? but that's what we led to believe.
All a bit like Disneyland, really.
Even the dinosaurs that was on show at
the Natural
History Museum, because they've only got one or two bones, I thought, well, what would it be like if we absolutely totally wrong? Interesting, eh? We take on board what we are told generally, don't we? You know, don't question everything.
It takes you back to the old film, doesn't it? The knowledge we live, we never bloody learn.
That's right.
Well, listen, thanks on for that.
Brilliant, Jamie.
And thanks for doing this little chat.
Well done.
And thanks, like Myrna, for chipping in the corner there every now and then.
Occasionally.
It's like a sauna in here now.
Isn't it? It's like she started stripping off.
It's like the old days. We've all stripped off down to our velvet thongs.
Down to our grundies.
Our velvet thongs and terry toweling socks. We've got our terry toweling socks on.
Well, we'll have to have you on again soon.
Brilliant. All right, Jamie.
See you again soon.
All the best. Ciao. All the best.
That's all for this week. You've been listening to The Cab Chat Show with your host, Super Cabbie.